Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here. This is like my second home. Amen. I'm excited. Are you excited? Good. Great. Yeah, I was looking at Pastor C.S. and his wife. You know, they look alike. I thought he married his sister. Now, for us Africans, we look at all white people, they look the same. Yeah, and you look at Chinese, they look the same. Eh? Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you so much for your prayers. The week I was supposed to come here, I was very, very sick. It was one after the other. And I was supposed to be in New Zealand. And so I applied my visa to go to New Zealand about July, August, to travel on the 11th of October to New Zealand and Australia. But I've preached in 40 years. It was the first time my visa delayed. And I was wondering why many times I apply 2 weeks, I'm granted my visa, but this one from August, September, October, my visa didn't come. Only came after the day I was finishing in New Zealand. So before that, I got a text message from Malawi. I have ladies, about 15 ladies, who have been praying for me faithfully for about 19 years. They dedicated themselves to pray for me. Every Friday, they spend the whole night of prayer to pray for my ministry, for me. And so one of them had, a word from the Lord and said, Stephen, don't worry. God has a purpose that you shouldn't go to New Zealand, and you are not going to New Zealand. So I accepted the word. And following day, that's when there was an earthquake just at the place where I was going to preach. So God can delay all your visas for a purpose. Amen. God uses circumstances to delay you. In March, I just preached in the European Parliament. After challenging them, all the bills they were about to pass that afternoon to the politicians. And I preached my heart out. And these days I'm preaching in such a way that you won't invite me next time. And I've become a no-nonsense preacher. And my wife rebuked me that you are playing games. So I've changed the style of my preaching. And after preaching in the European Parliament in France, I was going to get a train in Brussels, a flight from Brussels to London. But then we had a puncture. And I was desperate to get to the airport. And then fixing the tire quite delayed us for 15 minutes. It was those 15 minutes God saved me from the bomb that exploded in the airport. So I could have been in the airport building and I could have died. But God uses a puncture to delay me. You know, God is a wonderful God. Isn't he good? So I've learned to listen to God, even the things that are happening around me, as a voice from the Lord. as something God is using to speak to me. So I've got a listening ear. If you read Psalm 29, there are about 7 times God is saying the voice of the Lord, the voice, the voice, the voice, 7 times. And there are so many worldly voices we are hearing these days. But we need to listen to the voice of the living God. Amen. And so I'm living a life as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. Repenting every day, searching my heart every day, and trying to be right with God every day from my mind, my body, my eyes, what I see, what I read. I'm tuning myself towards God every minute. And so I want to praise God for inviting me to come here. Thank you, Pastor Sears, and thank you for the elders and deacons and the church. Amen. So let me preach. 1 Peter chapter 2. This has come about to encourage the church, because we are living in a world that is changing, the world that is twisting the word of God, and many God's elect, they are being led aside, are led astray because of the teachings which look very beautiful when you hear from the TV preachers, but when you scrutinize the message, you see there's a subtleness to mislead people. And most of it is about prosperity gospel. It's all about prosperity gospel, how they can make themselves rich. How can they, if you buy a jet next year, I will not come to Shofar. If you buy a jet for Sears, I will not come. If you give him a bishop title, I will not come. Because we are, you know, bombarded with these titles which are coming almost everywhere. Titles which have become like the clothes of King Saul, which David refused to wear because he was not used to. But so often many pastors are rushing to get these titles, you know, bishop, apostle, what you name it. They are heavy. They are very heavy. 3 times I've been almost honored to be given a doctorate, an honorary degree by Harvard University. I rejected it. Last year, Johannesburg University wanted to honor me with a doctorate. I rejected it. Kenya University wanted to honor me. I rejected it. I said, I just want to remain Stephen Lungu. Simple that. Because when I have these degrees, I'll change the way I'll greet Sears because I'm a doctor. And, you know, I'll change everything. Pride will come in. And that's my fear, that word pride. So I rejected. I want to remain simply Stephen Lungu. You go to Malawi, if you say, we want Evangelist Lungu, nobody will know you, will know me. You have to mention, oh, my name's Stephen Lungu. That's how I'm known. Across Africa, I'm known as Stephen Lungu. And I want to be there under the feet of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because so much is happening around the world. They look good in appearance, but they are twisting the minds of people. Because many people don't know their identity in Christ. There is now preachers who are using doom to take all the demons out of you. I hope Pastor Sears will not use the fire extinguisher to take all the demons out of you. You know, so much is happening with the pastors. Some are given snakes to eat, or ladies must not wear their underclothes. And all that is happening in the churches. But when you hear the message, they are twisting the scriptures of the word of God. They start good, but they end up all this rubbish, like, you know, you have TB Joshua, people rush there. You have this Bushiri young boy who has been womanizing, but you see thousands of people going there because they don't read the scriptures. They don't get grounded in the word of God. And so the elect are being misled according to Matthew chapter 24, that in the last days, people will be misled from the truth. And they will have itching ears to hear. But those itching ears, they are going to the wrong places. See how they flock to the things which are not the truth. Hundreds flock to there. But even our churches have become embassies. Most of our churches have become embassies where the pastor is the high commissioner or the ambassador. You know, they become embassies where you get a tourist visa, where you get a visiting visa, but you are not the citizen. You know, if Shofar is an embassy, forget about going to God. Because the embassy, you go to get a tourist visa, but you are not a part of that nation. You are not a citizen of that nation. You just go a visiting visa. So if you are in this church as a visiting visa, man, I want to give you the citizenship. Amen. Are we together? Ma, that's good. I'm looking at the watch. 35 minutes. Wow. This is exciting. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9. I'm reading from the NIV translation. And it starts with a but. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Can you say amen to that? Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now. Are you with me? Can you circle that but? That but now. Because that tells you what is being spoken earlier on. Is that right? I didn't go to school, but now I'm a lecturer. Professor Stephen. Praise God. And he says, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, I encourage you, I force you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his, on the day he visits you, or on the day of his visitation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, O God, for this word. We receive it. We love it. It's precious. Encourage us, O God, and use this vessel for your glory. Amen. My title is, Who Owns the Title Deed of Your Life? Who owns the title deed of your life? When you buy a house, you have a title deed. Is that right? When you buy land, you have got a title deed. And someone gave us money to buy a little farm in Malawi. We have a title deed. Someone gave me a gift of a house. And he had to change all the title deed. So it was a gift given to me by this man, whom God had blessed through my ministry. And so he said, I have nothing to give to God. I want to give you this house. So I own a house which I don't pay mortgage, because God paid it all. And so another one gave me another house. So I've got two houses, and I've got the title deed for those houses. When I die, my children will own those houses. Are we together? And so that title deed you own, you've got ownership of that house. So you, who owns the title deed of your life? Is it the devil or is it God? Is it the devil or God? Or some, they've got a split personality. They've got one part to God, one part to the devil. That's why in Exodus chapter 8, verse 23, God says, I'll make a distinction between my people and your people. In every church, there are two groups of people. God puts a dividing line, Pharaoh's people and God's people. And I don't know, which part are you? Are you in the embassy or you are in the house of God? Which part are you? And so God will always put a decision. It is the lifestyle you live that determines whether you are on Pharaoh's side or on God's side. Your lifestyle you live every day, the way you talk, the way you think, already puts you on that line where you cross this side, you are in Goshen or you are on Pharaoh's side. So God says, I'll put a distinction, I'll put a dividing line. You go to the Catholic, you find that line. Baptist, you find that line. In Shofar, you find that line. In every church, you find that line where God divides his people and Pharaoh's people. And now, when I was, before my mother dumped me, I was 4 years old, and we were very poor. And so my mother would take a bun or a slice of bread, and she would divide that slice of bread for me and my brother, or a piece of meat, and in the plate, so she would put two pieces of meat. Then she would say, let's pray. So I would look at a bigger piece and I would spit on that one so that my brother doesn't touch it. So I put saliva, mark it with my saliva, and I know my brother will not eat it. I would mark it. So when we pray, I would be comfortable because I already put saliva. So when we say amen, I'll look aside. I know my brother will pick up the other one. You know, I had marked it with my saliva. But you and me, according to Ephesians chapter 1, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, are we together? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, and you also, were included, in other words, before you were included, you were an alien, you were an illegitimate child, you were a bastard away from God. That's why I was. Before I came to Christ, I was a bastard. I was not a person. I was a gang leader. I was a drug addict. I used to stab people, killing people, away from God. But now the Bible says, and you also. That means Stephen Lungus as well. Why? Because the day when I came to Christ, even the preacher had his handkerchief on his nose. Because I was smelling, I was stinking the night I came to Jesus. I was horrible, coming from the bush, with my AK-47. All with a mind to kill and kill and kill. But that night when the gospel was preached, I came forward with my bombs, with my guns, knelt down before God in tears, broken before God. And that night, I was also included in Christ Jesus. Ooh, a different Stephen was born again. The one you see. The most handsome man in the world. Whether you believe it or not is your problem. But my wife told me I was handsome. So you believe what your wife tells you. Amen. So you are included in Christ. Now when you go in Christ, I used to hate white people with passion. I said in the bush, the only time you greet a white man, kill him first, then greet him later. I hated white people with passion, especially Americans and British. And we used to say, if you see an Afrikaner who is very good, spare him, because a good Afrikaner is real good. But a bad Afrikaner is real bad. An Afrikaner will not stand in between. When he hates you, he means it. When he loves you, he means it. An Afrikaner is not like a British who's smiling like, oh, brother Steve, and yet he hates you. Are we together? But an Afrikaner has no between line. He hates you, he means it. He loves you, he means it. So that's why we vowed in the bush, when you see a good Afrikaner, don't kill him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the night I came, I was included in Christ. Wow! I never saw an Afrikaner. I never saw a white man. I never saw a colored. I never saw an Indian. I saw every God's creation as God's creation. Hallelujah. You see a person with different eyes. You see a person not with a long nose or with a flat nose. No. You see a person according to the glory of God. Amen. So there God changed my life the way I look at white people. And God, after salvation, you know, all my best friends are white people. My real best friends are white people. And God has a sense of humor. Years later, my own son marries a white British girl. So I've got a daughter-in-law, a white British girl. And I love her so much. Wow. And so my daughter is married by a person from Portugal. So I've got some from Portugal, a son-in-law from Portugal. Because when I went in Christ Jesus, everything changed. Because inside Christ, because the Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So a white man goes in Christ, you find a black man. And if a black man you find in Christ, you find an Indian. You are all reconciled inside Christ. There's no way you can have racism inside Christ. It's impossible. Because God is not a Christian. Are you together? God is not a Christian. God has never been a Christian and he will never be a Christian. Are we together? So I'm confusing you. Praise God, I'm confusing you. Because God can never be a Christian because Jesus is Jesus the Christ. So all who follow Jesus are Christians. So God can never be a Christian. He can never follow Jesus. He cannot be a disciple of Jesus. So God is God, a holy God. He cannot be a Muslim. He cannot be Buddha. God is God. That's how you see God. But when you make God a Christian, you make Jesus as a religious leader. Jesus was never a religious leader. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He's not a religious leader. Because when you follow Jesus, you follow like in the military. In the military, they say, what belongs to you, it is your soul, but this whole body belongs to the army. Are we together? When you join the army, everything belongs to the army. So when you stand at the drill at attention, the commander comes to inspect you, and then he says, you are a fool. And then you say, thank you, sir. You are stupid. Thank you, sir. Your mother is like this. Thank you, sir. You can never say, what they are doing is to drain the whole of you. Everything, the way you think at Stellenbosch, the way you walk at Stellenbosch, they drain out everything out of you. And then 6 months later, they pump military thinking. You think like a soldier. You talk like a soldier. That's what Jesus was doing with his disciples. When you say yes to Jesus, it is like God's military army. Amen? There are no sissies in that military. There's no timidity, no shyness. I came to Jesus on Sunday, a radical communist, 8 o'clock, I'm born again into the kingdom of God. Jesus comes into my life, changes the whole Stephen Lungu. The way I was thinking, everything from drugs, it was like a snap. It is difficult to stop smoking. It is difficult to stop drugs. But for me, it was like a snap one night. Following day, I was in the bus preaching about Jesus. So if you ask me, Stephen, when were you called into the ministry? I don't know. When were you called into the ministry? I don't know. Because I was saved on Sunday, 8 o'clock. Monday, I was already preaching. And I've never stopped ever since. Hallelujah. So I don't know when I was called. Maybe everything was a mixed grill in me. I was called. I was baptized in the Spirit in one day. Everything came in one day, because if God had delayed, I'd have gone backwards. So God gave me everything. That same night, I was baptized in the Spirit of God. I was talking in tongues. As a Presbyterian, I was speaking in tongues that day. And following Sunday, I had to hold my mouth in the church. Because every time they say Jesus, amen. Say, shh. We don't say amen in this church. So I would hold my mouth because I was exploding with joy inside. Are we together? I was not that person who was testing whether I want to belong to Jesus. Oh, no, for me, it was 100 degrees, 180. When I turned around following Jesus, I said, I don't care what happens to me. I knew my gang was going to kill me. I knew the guerrilla fighters in the bush were going after me. And twice on my back, I was stabbed for accepting Jesus. I was arrested 5 times. I've been locked in prison for preaching the gospel many times. I've been put in a sack to be thrown in the river. I've been tortured by the church. The church tortured me. But you know, when I said yes to Jesus, I meant business with God. I was not a no-nonsense person. I meant business with God. So, this is why in this scripture I said, but now, You are included in Christ when you heard the word of what? Of truth. Because around the world, there's words which look like truth. But when the word is overemphasized, it becomes a heresy. You know, when you emphasize John 3:16, it becomes a heresy. Because you are including certain things which are not yours, which are not from the scriptures. So heresy becomes from the scriptures, but it was overemphasized. They went out from the scriptures, added a little bit more of themselves. So it becomes a heresy. So it says the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, having believed, you were marked in him. Like my saliva, you were marked in him. God didn't use his saliva, he used his blood to mark you. So you are not a cheap person because you are marked by the precious blood of Jesus. So you are not a nobody, you are not cheap. You are not cheap. You are very, very expensive. Amen. You are not a cheap person because you are marked by the blood of Jesus, but also not marked by the blood of Jesus. You are marked with a seal. With a seal. In the title deed, they put a rubber stamp, which is a seal. God said, this is mine. From now on, devil, you have no right over this girl. You have no right over this man, over this woman. You have no right over his mouth. You have no right over his hands. I've put a seal on this way. The way you talk to your wife, it must show there's a seal. Amen? You can't talk to your wife with harsh words, with anger. When things go wrong, you can't shout at your wife. No! Because you have been given a seal. Are we together? One day my wife drove a car, a brand new car, not this one, but and smashed at the gate the whole headlamp. You know, it's so expensive, the headlamp. So she was quiet. So I came, said, honey, why are you quiet? I said, you are just pointing your finger. What's wrong? Said, go outside. I said, outside to do what? Said, go and look at the car. So I went outside and saw the headlamp completely gone. Almost in Malawi, you need half a million. So I came to the house. I said, honey, what is that? He says, a television. And what is that? A stool. What is that? A sofa. And what are these all things? Things. I said, even a car is a thing. Even that headlamp is a thing. So, why are you disappointed? Those are things. We shouldn't fight over things. Do you know, in marriages, they fight over things. Why did you bash the car? Why did you do this? Why did you break my cup, my plate? Things. Even in church, they fight over things. They fight over positions. Those are things. So I said to my wife, but if you have an accident, then I can't get concerned. Like when she was sick in Malawi, I was concerned because she's not a thing. Are we together? And how often you quarrel over things? You came late. Why did you come late? You know, especially husbands, we are always irritated by wives coming late. I mean, hey, husbands, you must listen. From the Garden of Eden, all the watches of ladies got broken, said somewhere there. Something wrong from the Garden of Eden. If they don't keep time, it started from the Garden of Eden. So don't get angry. So many husbands, you know, get in the car, blow the horn, pim pee, hurry up, pim pee. And the woman is rushing up and down. I said, man, don't hurry the woman. When you are filled by the Spirit of God, don't rush your wife. Are we together? Don't rush your girlfriend. Don't rush your wife. Take it cool. Amen. Yeah, understand your wife. Study your wife. From the day I got married, I was writing notes about my wife. That's why I'm writing a book about my wife. I was writing notes. The way she behaves, I was just watching her. I mean, I said, thank you, God, you gave me this drama in my house. So when I look at my house, she's the drama I'm watching every day. I don't need to pay. I just watch the way she walks, the way she's doing things. God, you are an amazing God. What? Have you ever studied your wife? You just look at her, the way she behaves, the way she does things. Completely different to men. Completely different. Then that's why you enjoy the woman that she's your drama God gave you in the house to watch. Amen. She comes me, sometimes I forget she is angry with me. Why did you do this? So I start smiling. I'm actually enjoying her anger. And she's angry. Why did you do this? Oh, daddy, I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I'm enjoying the anger. Amen? So it doesn't affect me. I don't help her to quarrel. Are we together? I'm enjoying all the drama God gave me. And I'm writing notes. And if you read some of the notes, it's hilarious. You will laugh the whole day. Those who are proofreading, they can't stop laughing. Hallelujah. So, you believed and you are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now he says, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance? Hallelujah. Not in the imbus, you cannot have inheritance. But in Christ, you can have your inheritance. Amen. Oh, man. You can have your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You know, when you are God's possession, you are His completely. Before I married my wife, you touch her shoulder. Don't touch me. But the moment she said yes to me, I touch her. She's cool. Hallelujah. When I put the ring, I kiss her. Oh, she responds. Isn't that nice? But when you are married, you are touching, you know, you feel afraid. Why are you touching me? But when you are God's possession, God can touch you, your life, every area of your life. Are we together? Because you are God's possession. You belong to Him. You are His. The devil has no right to touch you. Even, you know, someone's wife, if I go to see her, Pastor Sia's wife, Louise, and then greet her for 15 minutes, I'm still holding her hand. Sia says, that greeting is not right. It's too much, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's Sia's possession. You understand? So is God. When he possesses you, you are His people. Amen? You are a chosen people. So many people say, I can't come to Christ. I can't believe in Christ because everyone who is coming to Christ was already chosen. I said, no, you don't understand John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God, then stop there. Think, for God. Wow. You start thinking how holy He is. Who there who sits on the throne where angels go round Him, they see the dimension of God they've never seen in their lives. They see the glory of God they've never seen before. As they come this side, they can't stop. Holy. They come, holy. They want to stop. But they can't. Holy. They go on. Holy. Holy. They go on and on for trillion and trillion of years. They can't stop because God has never used one color twice. God has never used one color twice. Just think of it. We use black, white, the same colors. And we have exhausted all the colors. But God, for trillions of years, has never used one color twice. Think of it. That amazes the angels. Holy. Ooh, holy. We have never seen such a thing. Holy. Holy every time. So they take the other wings. They cover their faces because they can't behold this glory. It's too much. It's too much. They can't expose their legs. They cover their legs because, no, they can't show off their legs. And yet our women now, they wear mini dresses, even in church. So exposed. Even their oranges are exposed. Are we together? People who go to church, you know, almost all the, only the whole small part is covered, but the whole orange is bare, is bare. And yet in church. But these angels, they cover their legs. I can't show off my legs. Do you know now it's difficult to go in the shops and buy a decent dress? You've got to go shop after shop to find a decent dress. Because you go to this, yeah, it's long, but it's been slit from here to there. Said, ah, but you go there, it's been slit from there to the whole leg is shown. But you say, God, where are we going to find decent dresses? But now you find you go to shop, even the blouse of a woman is almost covering this part. And then we are comfortable in the house of the Lord. My brothers, my sisters, the glory of God. Young boys who go even to the church with the boxers, you know, boxers, and they are going to praise the Lord. You know, if angels cover their faces, their legs, how much more you? You. That's why, you know, I used to have about 20-something suits all given to me. But my wife says, honey, I see you change suits almost every day. There's so much of you in these suits. So she gave away all these suits. I remained with one suit. I travel around the world with one suit because my wife saw that there was a bit of showing off when I wear suits. And each suit has got the same color of shoes. If it was white, white. From there, if it was yellow, yellow. So I was walking like these TV preachers. You know, the only thing. And, you know, I would hold like these American preachers, the Bible. I would hold like this, you know, when I'm preaching. You know, God is good. You know, God, when he wants to work in your life, God is good. So I said, no more. So my wife says, honey, I see you, not God. So my wife gave away all the suits, all the shoes, and left me with two pairs only. And I'm satisfied. And I thank God she gave them away because I've got a woman who can check me, who can check me every time. But also after preaching, she, when I go home, if she says I want to show you, I know. I say, oh, there it comes. I know she's going to bomb me. So she tries to take away the things which don't give God the glory. Everything that doesn't belong to God, she takes them away. She rebukes me, and I cry. I repent, and I ask her to anoint me with oil and praise for me. Because we are trying to safeguard each other. Because this scripture says, God saved me for his praise and glory. So my life has to give praise to God and his glory. Amen? So you are a chosen people. So in John 3:16 says, whosoever, it means for God. Then it says, so loved. I mean, you have never loved even your girlfriend, your wife, the way God loved the world. Because it says, so loved. The expression of his love is demonstrated on the cross. You understand that? The expression of his love is demonstrated on the cross, is demonstrated on the blood, on the face of his son. That's the expression of his love. So loved. Then he says, that so that whosoever, in capital letters. So it's like a door which is written whosoever. As you are walking past by, it's written whosoever. Anybody. White, black, Indian, colored, anybody can go in. Whosoever. Anyone can go in. But the difference, what people talk about predestination, he said now, whosoever, that means you are the key to that door. Because that door underneath whosoever says ask. It's written ask. A for ask. S for seek. K for knock. So you are the key. So whosoever. So when you push that door and go inside, as you shut the door, inside is written, you are the chosen one. When you read it inside, it said, you are the fact that you entered, you closed the door behind you, inside said, you are the chosen one. So you can say, hey, yes, I am the chosen one, predestinated. Are we together? So if you have never entered that door, I want to invite you this morning to enter through that door. But then let me come to close. I've got 5 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you are a chosen people, whosoever. Remember that outside the kingdom of God, you are an illegitimate child, a stranger, not to the citizenship of God. So God today is inviting you not to stay in the embassy, but to enter into that whosoever door, that inside you may be the chosen one. And so he says you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood is that the priest's duty was to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So when you are the royal priesthood, God wants you to offer sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is what you give willingly, wholeheartedly, with your body. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, hey man, offer your bodies as a living what? Sacrifice. You don't offer your body as a Christian to sex outside marriage. No. No sex outside marriage. Are we together? No sex outside marriage, because you are a living sacrifice to the Lord. When you give yourself to the Lord, you are a living sacrifice. So how do you give praises to God? You say, oh, with my lips, I will praise his name. With my hands, I will lift up my hands in praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. You become the praise of the Lord. So that you are the glory of God. Amen. When God looks at you, he says, there goes my child, my glory. He looks at you, he says, there is my glory. Amen. He doesn't look at your color, but your his glory. Oh man, let me finish, because Brother Sears will never invite me again. And he says, be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is changing. But you know, stick to the pattern of the living God. Amen. And then a holy nation, Psalm 32, 33, verse 2, says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen for his inheritance. Hallelujah. Man, let me rush through and finish. It says, oh, I love this. For you, Deuteronomy 14, verse 1 and 2, says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples of the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. His special possession. You are unique. You are special. Oh man, I wish I could have an amen, but there's no amen. Because you are special. His treasured possession. Wow, can you believe that I was a possession of the devil for many years? Shooting at people, killing people, and so on, drugs. But that night when I came to Jesus, I became his treasured possession. Man, God, when he holds me, says, my son, I love you so much. For me, I can't express with mouth. The only expression is tears just come out. That's the way I express myself to God. I can't comprehend it. I can't just think of, it's almost like I'm an ant. An ant looking at me says, whoa, what a giant. That's what the ant thinks about me. Are we together? When the ant looks at me, says, what a giant. And when the ant looks at my foot, says, whoa, a dynamite. But I'm just a foot. That's how the ant looks at me. But listen to the ant. I don't believe in him. But it's an ant playing games. It's like our professor says, there's no God. Scientists, there's no God. It's like an ant saying, God, there's no God. God can easily crush him. Yuri Gagarin, first Soviet Union, went to space. He went to the space and said, I didn't see God. After he came back 3 months later, he went on a single aeroplane and crashed and died. I was preaching in Zambia, in Ndola, at a big marketplace. Two young boys with their sports bicycle, all wearing the same color of shirt, shoes, watches, everything the same. And as we were preaching, thousands of people were crying at the market. These boys came and says, there's no God. Where's God? I can punch him and kill him right now. And the preacher was preaching that day, turned towards this boy. God is not mocked. He just said those words with such anger. But these boys made a joke to make people laugh. But this preacher went on preaching the word of God. Many people came forward. There was a crippled man. As he was about to pray, this crippled man stood up. Started walking. God was trying to show these two boys the glory of God. A blind woman opened eyes. He started to jump. There was no prayer. God was demonstrating himself to these two boys. But they went on shouting. And they were about to leave. Took off on a bus. Just as they were going away from the crowd, a drunkard from nowhere with his car hit them, both of them, went up, came down,
cross with their heads, from here, no scratch. But the brain was scattered on the tarmac. They died. Few minutes after mocking God. But God demonstrated these miracles for them to see. Are we together? So God is God. He can't change him. And as I close, in Africa we close many times, but this is Stellenbosch closing. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. God created you for his glory. Amen. Once you are not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now I urge you, I encourage you that if you are struggling in your spiritual life, say, God, I want to surrender wholly to you. My body is a living sacrifice. My soul is a living sacrifice. My mind, my tithing, my whole being, the way I worship you, the way I follow you. God, I've been dragging. But to this morning, God, wholly of me, as Caleb said, I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Maybe you've been doing it half-heartedly. You say, God, I want to be your people. I don't want to be on Pharaoh's side. I want to be on Goshen. I want to be a people chosen by you, earmarked by the seal of the Spirit of God, that the devil will not touch me anymore. I've been weak in my Bible reading. I've been weak in my prayer life. I've been weak in all my commitment to Christ. Or maybe you've been doubting for many years. Oh man, how can I believe in this Jesus? This morning is your time. This morning is your day. You can say, God, if you did it for Stephen, I want you to do it for me today. Shall we stand up? So God, I want to be your holy nation, your people, brothers. So God, my life has been dragging. I want to come to that place where I belong to you wholeheartedly.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.